Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening. This is Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez, and I'm here live on a Wednesday night, right here coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com, and this is presented by Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. And again, this is Wrestle Talk in the D, where we talk about wrestling, where we think we know about wrestling, okay? One thing about this show is that we're going to tell you how we feel, and we think we know what we're talking about. You know, most of the time I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's whatever. You know, that doesn't matter. You know, but again, this is Russell talking to you. We got a good show for you today. We got a big show for you tonight. In the world of radio, everybody always say that every radio host pretty much say that we have a big show for you today. We have a special show for you today. So I'm gonna use that cliche and tell you that we have a special show for you today. And honestly, every show is special. All jokes aside, every show is special, no matter who's on it, no matter who's not on it. But we are expected to talk to ECW, WWE, TNA, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor wrestler Rhino. He should be joining us shortly, and we may have to place him a call to come onto the show. Rhino from WWE, ECW, etc. will be joining us relatively shortly. But this is Russell talking to D, and I said that for the fourth time. I don't know why I'm saying that over and over again. But first, before I get into tonight's show, I always want to do this. I always want to pause and thank my Lord and Savior, because I realize without him, there's no me. Without him, there's no ability to talk about wrestling. You know, it's an honor to be able to talk about wrestling, you know, especially in a time like this. You know, I'm so tired of hearing about this virus and things of that nature. I'm sensitive to what's going on with everybody. Don't get me wrong. I'm sensitive to all the people that have lost loved ones, to all the people that have died. I'm sensitive to that. But at the same time, you know, it's nice to be able to shift and talk about something else, you know, besides this virus. But once again, we got a big show for you today. At 5:10, we're going to be calling WWE ECW wrestler Rhino. We're going to be calling him at around 5:10, 5:11, and we're going to be talking to him for a few short minutes about his career. We also want to talk to him about his podcast, because he has a podcast. I don't know if many of you have heard it, but he has a podcast, so we definitely want to talk to him about that. And I guess the cool thing about it, he's from Detroit. You know, he's a Detroiter. We're from Detroit. We broadcast from Detroit, so it's going to be kind of cool to have him on, being that he's from this city. But I'm going to take these next 5 minutes to talk about one particular thing before we place him a call. And if we have time later on in the show, I'll definitely want to dive more into it. But I want to talk about the day, or the night, or the day when we are allowed to go view wrestling as fans. I don't know when that day is going to happen. I don't know how soon or how long it's going to be. But I want to talk about that moment where we can buy that ticket, that moment where it's safe, that moment where it's okay to go to a live event, whether it's an indie show, whether it's a WWE or AEW, Ring of Honor, etc., one of those type of shows. I want to talk about that because God is my witness. You know, I believe that's going to be off the hook, off the chain night. I see, I can see it right now. It's going to be so much buzz the day of, like the day of the night or the day where we can go view wrestling with amongst the people. I think people are going to lose their minds. People are going to be filled with joy. It's going to be a special situation. It's going to be a special situation the moment we can go and view wrestling again. And who's ever listening? I don't know who's listening, but who's ever listening tonight? You know, I can't wait for that moment. Before this whole virus really hit the mainstream within America, I was all set to go to SmackDown. That was the last show before. No, that was the show before everything hit the fan. You know, I was supposed to attend SmackDown right here in Detroit, and it didn't happen because they canceled it due to the virus. And I'm still pretty bummed out. I'm still pretty sad about that because I was excited. And I was going to take kids with me. Not my kids. I don't have kids. But I was going to take my cousins because they've never been to a wrestling event. They've never been to a wrestling event, and I wanted them to view wrestling in person because they love wrestling. They like watching it on TV, and I thought that would have been a nice present, a nice reward to take them to go see wrestling. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen because, you know what? The world stopped. As far as I know, the world has the world is still on pause right now. But I think that night is going to be off the chain. You know, I can feel it right now. Chills up my spine. Chills up your spine. Goosebumps. Maybe even some anxiety. You know, and I guarantee you this, nobody's going to care about coronavirus that night. They might think about it, but they're not going to care about it. A wrestling fan, and people try to tell me that, most people try to say, hey, I'm not going to see a live wrestling event for a long time. Even when they decide to open back up to the public, I'm not going. But part of me feels like that's a bold-faced lie. I just feel like that's a bold-faced lie. I've even told myself that that I'm not going to a live show once things clear up. Now, if they say tomorrow or 3 weeks from now, hey, we're going to open back up the venue for wrestling fans to come view wrestling, I'm not going. I don't care how much I'm a diehard wrestling fan, I'm not going, okay? I won't be there, but I will tell you this: if it's sometime in June, I'm there. If it's sometime in June, July, I'm there. Especially if it's in Detroit or if it's somewhere in Illinois, if it's somewhere in Indiana, somewhere close by, and if I can get a ticket, I'm going. That's how much I miss being amongst the wrestling fans at these live events, and that's how much, you know, I miss watching wrestling and seeing fans at the arena. That's how much I miss it. To the point to where if they say yes, you can come watch wrestling, and you can come watch wrestling in the arena again, I'm going. Whew. All right, I got that out the way. Hopefully, we can revisit this later in this show. It's only an hour show. We got a few shows tonight: My Two Cents on Wrestling, Jed Williamson, and Al Miller. That's a great show. Great show. You got Talking with Tisha from the D. She's coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. So we got a show at 6 p.m., a show at 8 p.m. Talking with Tisha is another great show. You guys should listen to that. You know, give us your opinions and call in if you want to. But right now, I'm going to place this call to Mr. Rhino. I don't know when I'm going to ask him. I got one question that I'm going to ask him, but I don't know what else I'm going to ask him. So let's see what happens. Let's see if I fold under pressure. You know, let's see if I fold under pressure. So I'm going to place this call to Rhino right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Rhino. He's in the screening room right now. We're going to bring him up in a moment. Well, I guess we lost him, so I'm going to give him a call back again. We lost his call. Good God Almighty. We lost Rhino. Mr. Gerwin?
Mesk is calling.
Hey, this is I'm sorry, this is Martez. I'm calling from Russell Talking to D.
Oh, what's going on, man?
I'm sorry, man. I should have told you that this is the number I'm gonna be calling from. I apologize.
Right.
Yeah, definitely, you know, before we get to the interview, I always say this. No one has to accept your invitation. You know, it could be an invitation to a birthday party, a wedding, whatever. No one has to accept it, so I appreciate you accepting the invitation to come on this show for a few short moments.
Oh, anytime, man.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to get right into it. How did this all start for you? How did how did you get involved in the wrestling business? How did you start liking wrestling or loving wrestling? When did that all start for you, sir?
Well, when I was a kid, I was a big fan of wrestling, and I figured it would, you know, as I got older and stuff, and, you know, I just figured, you know, it was a dream to be part of it and, you know, just chased after it. So.
Nice. Did the moment you, your first promotion that you were with, did you suffer any nervousness or did you have any jitters? What was that feeling like?
Well, yeah, obviously, whenever I go in the ring, I still have that nervousness to myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going out there and put on the best match possible, or going out there and, you know, give the best showing possible, and you don't want to disappoint the fans.
Right.
So whether they're in attendance or watching at home.
Right.
So, you know, everybody gets that, even ball players, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, you know, you do get that calm nervousness about you. So.
Awesome. I totally get it. Like even with this, you know, I've been doing this radio program for 4 years now, and I like, some days I get nervous, you know, even now, like
all right.
One of them shows where, yeah, this is one of them shows where I get nervous. You know, I seem like I'm a calm and cool collective, but I'm not, you know.
Right. I feel you. So, yeah, because you have that passion to bring across the best interview and the best show possible. And, you know, so you can relate to what we go through, too, when we go out there and perform.
Absolutely. Now, you know, a lot of times, as a wrestling fan, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I don't think we appreciate what you guys do in that ring. You know, you guys have to perform and execute moves. You have to tell a good story. You know, you have to wrestle within the right camera range. You know, a lot of times we don't appreciate that. But my question to you is this: how do you put on the best storyline that you possibly can put on? How do you put on a great storyline for the fans?
Well, first off, the statement you made as far as the wrestling fans really don't, you know, the they don't really know. I think the fans nowadays appreciate it more because there's a lot of stuff that have been seen opposed to 20, 30 years ago. You know, you got a lot of guys that talk about the things they went through, and men and women. So I think, you know, not to sell your guys, sell you or other people short, but I think you guys do appreciate it a lot more with that, because you know the you have more of a knowledge of what goes on behind the scenes, whether it's going out there, you know, getting the right camera angle, you know, driving all throughout the night, no sleep, just to get this show, this afternoon show in, and, you know, and just the bumps and bruises, the being away from home, you know, your marriage, your friendships take a hit, you know, and all that stuff. And things like that happen in other occupations. But anyways, you always want to see where the money is, you know, because obviously if a story or, you know, a match or, you know, someone's promos can really draw a lot of interest, then obviously, you know, and who would you pair up against someone, you know, to have that? What is the promoter looking for in the match that they booked you in? Is there going to be an angle? Is it just a one-off shot? How do we finish this? How do we bring the best product? So there's a lot of, you know, you have to get all the backstory, you know, get where you want to go to and try to, you know, put that together when you're going out there, you know. So it's all about communication. And in life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's business, you know, no matter what it is, it's all about communication. And that's the key, because you got to communicate with the promoter and the other people and see where it's going to go and throw out some ideas. And sometimes just things happen right off the cuff. And, you know, being able to go out there and, you know, just call it on the fly, too. You know, or if something gets over, change and adapt, because that's very important, too.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I knew having you on here, like, you were going to school me, you know, on some on wrestling one-on-one. So I appreciate that. That answer.
School, educate, bring in aware, you know, or just learning off each other, you know. So it's all that. So not necessarily schooling you.
All right. Now, you've been a world champion in ECW. You've been a television champion in ECW. You've been a hardcore champion in WWE. You've been a tag team champion in WWE. You've been an NWA World Heavyweight Champion. You have other championships under your belt. But and I know this might be a cliche question, and I'm pretty sure you've been asked this before, maybe. But is there one championship that you value the most? Well, actually, a championship moment that you cherish the most out of all your championship reigns or things of that nature?
Well, I a lot of people would probably think I would say the ECW television title or the ECW World Heavyweight title. Just because it was like the TV title was the first major title I won, other than the tag champs over in Germany.
Yeah.
But they all have a special place in my history of wrestling. So, and they all mean a great deal to, and I think I speak for a lot of wrestlers, men and women. It's just a symbol, because what people don't realize is, even though wrestling is what it is, when you obtain a title, it's just a reflection of your hard work, your dedication, your positive attitude, you know, your dedication not only to the promotion but to the wrestling business, and, you know, dealing with all the other crap. So it's kind of, you know, your hard work pays off by that. So technically you are earning a championship because of the years of hard work and dedication. So, and that's what any champion is made of, is just years of hard work and dedication. So, and that reflects, you know, even in work, you know, if you work hard, you dedicate yourself, you learn, you know, you move up the ladder, you're rewarded, you know, on different things, whether it's financially or you're given awards or whatever it may be. So, but as far as one, stands out more so than the other. I really don't have one, but it was really cool to be the ECW heavyweight champion. And then the NWA, champion too. So, and then it's just working with Impact right now. It's a really cool place. The locker room's great. The product comes off a little edgy, but great. The people, you know, and it's just, you know, the titles, they're not too far out of reach for you.
Yeah. Wow. that's we're talking to. I hope I'm saying your name correctly, Terrence Gerwin. And we know him as, and us as wrestling fans, we know him as Rhino, WWE, ECW, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, so forth.
And
then to tie into my next question, you know, we've talked about this virus, I mean, so much. Everybody's talking about it every day, you know. We're stuck at home. A lot of us can't do what we normally do. But I recently seen the pay-per-view of you guys wrestling in the empty arena at Impact Wrestling. What was that like? You know, because for me, I can't speak for anybody else. For me, I would think that may be an adjustment not to be able to wrestle in front of fans. So what was that like as a performer that has always came out and wrestled in front of people? You know, based on my knowledge, what was that?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, I think it's a little easier now because the men and women that wrestle, they come up and they train a lot more in the wrestling ring, like in schools or like at the performance center. And, you know, when I first started, once you started on the road, you were on the road and you never went to school because being in front of a crowd was your school to learn and practice and all that. So I think so many men and women put so much time and effort in training, which is a good thing. And they train and they train and they train. And even if they go on the road, they'll go in and train and stuff like that. So, and plus with myself, I like to either hold a seminar or I'll stop by the school and I don't necessarily teach the basics, but I'll like help men and women that have like at a seminar, take it to the next level. You know, and if they need some basic moves, I'll work with them on that. But I like, you know, explaining to them how to get from where you're at to the next level. You know, nobody's going to call you. You've got to make the phone ring. And then people will start calling you. So work on gimmicks, characters, seeing where they're at, you know, as far as movement, timing, ring positioning, and all the other things. Camera angles is very important if it's being filmed. You know, so I like to do that. So with that being said, you know, even though I've been wrestling for a while, I do kind of what you would say perform without a crowd. So it was a bit different because I really, you know, we all feed off the crowd and when the crowd isn't there, but it wasn't a big stretch as if this would have happened 20 or 30 years ago. Then I think it would have been a little more difficult. But now I think it wasn't that bad of a stretch for a lot of the men and women. But you definitely need the crowd because, one, this is a sport and a business where you can react to the crowd and then you can, you know, you can get the crowd into a frenzy. And when they say something, you can react back to them and you can verbally say something to them. Which is cool because baseball or football, you know, you're not allowed to do that. But in wrestling is very encouraged. You know, someone tells you, you know, what they think of you, good or bad, you can react to them. And which is great because when you're singled out and the wrestler in the ring gives you the thumbs up, you know, you feel great. And sometimes if they give you the thumbs down, you feel great because they acknowledged you. And that's a story that they'll tell to their fan or their friends and family for years to come. It's like, yeah, I was giving him, you know, crap, and he looked at me and he gave me crap back, and you know, I was in his head, and so it's that's the thing that makes our line of work special.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying this. I'm smiling over here.
cool.
How has the business changed? You know, I know you've been wrestling since the 90s. Like, how has the business changed from that era? Because many people that I know call the late 90s the golden age of wrestling. I don't I don't know if that's a disrespect to you guys or not, but
No.
How was it different now versus, different now versus back then, if you can elaborate?
Well, there's been a lot of golden age, people refer to it at the golden age of wrestling, certain periods. Usually, whenever you first start watching, and usually as a kid, wrestling was, and I had a discussion with my buddy several years back, because this is probably like 10 years ago, and he claims that, WWE or Vince is ruining wrestling, and it was the best when it was in the late 60s in the territories, and Dick the Bruiser and the Sheik,
yeah.
And, and very territorial. And I had a discussion with him, and I explained to him, people think it's the best when they first start watching, and like I said, usually as a kid. Because
yeah.
They're introduced to it, their mind's blown. And as a kid, hopefully every child had a good childhood, but usually when you're a kid, you're full of innocence. You don't know what a car payment is. You don't know what it's like to struggle to pay bills. Even though your parents might be struggling to pay bills, a lot of times they don't let you in on all that because they want you to be a kid. And those that are fortunate enough to be able to have a good childhood, their whole world becomes wrestling. And at that time, it just becomes the best thing ever. And, as a kid, you're not burdened by, life and the difficulties of life, that's thrown at you as an adult. And, work and then marriage and then trying to keep a household together and all these other things that are, so as a child, you tend to think those things in your life is the best it's ever been. And usually as you grow up and then you're starting to pick up more responsibilities like car payments, college payments, or if you go into work, dealing with your boss, how he's a prick and you like to kick him and give him a stone cold stunner, then you miss out on the innocence in the, of your childhood of just waking up and figuring out what you're going to do for the summer. Do I play hide and go? That was the biggest decisions. Do I play hide and go seek with my friends? Do I, what do I do? And trade baseball cards or whatever, you did as a child. Obviously it's a little different now, more video games and social media, but, with kids, but I think, so with that being said, I like the attitude air. I'll watch stuff when I first started watching wrestling in the late 80s and, just it blows me away the work ethic back then. And, the work ethic now is great, but that was actually not the right word. But just the way that, guys in, knew their character back then, knew what they would and wouldn't do, and they got the most out of, and that's one thing I learned at a young age. It's like, okay, you got a 500-pound, or say 100-pound piece of equipment you need to move on the other side of the room. There's a smart way to do it and a dumb way to do it. The dumb way is just think you'll muscle it over there, even if you can. But the smart way is, because you got to get it from point A to point B. The smart way is to go get the little hydraulic, get out and roll it over, It takes about the same amount of time, but you do that for about 3 or 4 years, muscling it, stuff like that over, you're gonna destroy your back and all that stuff. So, longevity, working smart, thinking smart, the best solution. And then, watching the guys back then, they got point A to point B and, they did things smart. And guess what? If a worker can, or if an employer can get more out of you, the longer you're there, the more you can provide, and you don't have to retrain someone else, and then wait 5 years until they start paying off. Kind of like wrestling. You get these guys that are stars. The longer they're with you, the more you can draw for them, and the more money they make for themselves and their family. So,
yeah, That's okay.
Yeah. Does that make any type of sense?
It did. It made a whole lot of sense, you know.
Right, right.
Hey, seriously, it made a whole lot of sense. I'm feeling blessed right now. I'm not just saying this because I'm on air. I'm feeling blessed to be able to hear you speak on this platform.
It's good to hear you say that, because in life sometimes we forget the things that we're blessed with, because it's overshadowed by the maybe some difficulties or something. I was talking to a lady I went to school with the other day. She was having some problems, and she posted something, so I called her up, and I'm like, "Yeah, right." And it's just a lot of things, and she's like, and I told her, it's like when a lot of things are piled on, you know, you have to, okay, take a step back, take a deep, you know, and then look at the things you're blessed with, look at the problem at hand, and look at, because a cool, calm, and collective, you know, when you're cool and you're calm, you can think, you know, the best way to attack this issue or problem you're having. But, you know, you always have to realize that no matter how bad you have it, someone else out there has it a little bit worse, and you have to count your blessings and then move forward, and then you'll see more blessings come your way. So,
well said. Yeah, because I was I got a part time job. I was working this morning. I was telling somebody that at work, actually, because things have slowed up for me economically. You know what I mean? And I'm not where I'm working at part time. I don't want to be there, but I had to pause and realize, hey, you need to be thankful that you're here, you know, because things can,
can
stay slowed up for you. And I was counting my blessings in that particular moment. So, we definitely got to count them.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go.
Well, you know, and I think, we're definitely going through a difficult time right now with this whole coronavirus and everything. And, you know, and a lot of people are losing their jobs, and a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of difficulties. A lot of people, you know, are getting sick or the way which one life is too many, you know. But it's one of those things where, you know, you as a person have to look at what you could do, your part, look at it that we will come out of it, you know, and just keep on, you know, every day, you know, that goes by, it's a day closer that will be towards the end of this, or at the end of this. And, you know, and it's about encouraging others to do the right thing, and it's about encouraging others to, you know, keep moving forward, because I'm very fortunate. I worry about people, not only, you know, that they might become ill from this, but I worry about people that, you know, we haven't really been talking about it, that deal with anxiety, depression, and all these other things, you know, and that's what I, you know, you know, people being in the same household for a long period of time, that's not normally, you know, next thing you know, that wife is usually going, take out the garbage, the more you're around her. You know, she might be scratching her head going, why did I marry her? You know, or why did I marry him? And then the husband might be thinking the same thing. And, you know, so that's a different thing, you know, you have to be concerned about. And, you know, I always encourage people, you know, go for a walk around the block or what have you, you know, and just try to do things and try to, you know, think of what you can do. You know, for the future and what you can do and set goals and stuff like that. And just don't, you know, try not to, you know, get anxious and depressed, and, you know, look for the future, look, you know, do things that make you happy, whether it's watching wrestling, whether it's, you know, so it's just getting through it and just moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's funny you said it, because I'm going to say this real quickly. I said this on a previous show, like, because and I'm not trying to be funny, but if the virus don't get you, the people in the house going to get you, because you're going to get tired of seeing each other. So, and it might.
Right.
People might.
Right.
For real.
Right.
You know,
so it's a double-edged sword.
Absolutely. All right. I got a few more questions for you. I know, because we working with so much time. Not a lot of time, but I want to shoot these questions with you. Or to you, for years, you know, people have spoken highly of you. Before I even reached out to you, obviously, fans in Detroit on Facebook, you know, that's where I learned how much of a great guy you were. I mean, I watch you on television, but a lot of fans really speak highly of you here in Detroit. You know, they say you're a genuine, you're a good guy. How do you feel when you hear that these people in Detroit, the fans of Detroit, speak so highly of you? How does that make you feel?
You know, I'm very blessed in a lot of ways, Pete. And just to hear that, it just, you know, because I believe in God and everything, and I don't push religion on anybody. It's just personal experiences and stuff like that. And, you know, I feel like I'm doing someone's work, you know, someone that wants me to be a positive influence on other people, and someone's work, I mean God. You know, and you know, I believe in that sending out positive energy and positive vibes, and you get that back. So, you know, out into the universe and all that. You know, and so, you know, I approach life with an open mind. I you know, I'm pretty understanding, and I've been blessed to have parents that, you know, they weren't, you know, opinionated. They were like, you know, right, wrong, do right, work hard, help other people out, you know, when you can. You know, because sometimes, you know, we can't always help people out. You know, because we might get in a rut, and guess what? Someone will help you out, you know. So, you know, I was very blessed to have great parents. But I think, you know, when you hear that, like, oh, yeah, he's a great dude. I talked to him at the gas station, met him here and there. And it's like, you know, I feel good because I know I've made someone else's day, or I've made a positive influence in someone else's life. And then, you know, and that's the main thing, you know, because all wrestling aside and all, you know, your hard work or whatever, you're rewarded, not just, you know, with a paycheck with wrestling, but you're rewarded because you've made a positive influence in someone's life. Well, even if you're a heel in wrestling, you know, there's got, in order to be a good guy or have a good guy, there has to be a bad guy. So in that, if I'm a heel and that good guy's beating my butt, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, he got his butt whooped by so-and-so, and I love that dude. He's awesome. You know, so you, even as a bad heel in wrestling, you still made a positive influence in someone's life, you know. Or when they meet you out in the outside of the ring and they're like, wow, that guy's a really good guy, you know. So even though he's an asshole on TV, he's a really cool dude. And plus, right, being a Michigander, I love Michigan. I was talking to this lady the other night, and in and she's from Michigan, and she went out and I think went to college in Vegas or something, and then lived out in California and came back, and, you know, with the family and all that stuff. And I told her, I go, I could never leave Michigan. I could never. And I knew this ever since, you know, I started traveling. I love the people. I love the state. I've been blessed to travel and wrestle, you know, throughout the state, even in the UP. And I just love traveling through it. I just love the Rust Belt, the work ethic, just the people, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know. Sometimes, you know, the bad and the ugly is definitely the roads. So
yeah.
It's a cement jungle.
right.
You know? So, wow. But, you know, it's just, we're family, you know. And I love, like, Pennsylvania and all the other states I go to, but home is home, man.
Yep. Yeah, like, hey, I feel you on that. I like visiting other states, you know, but I'm a Detroiter through and through. You know, I've been to California, Las Vegas, but sometimes you like where you are, you know.
Yeah. And it's just driving back home or going to the airport and seeing the thing, you know, at the gate, Detroit, or when you're driving through Detroit 400 miles, like, getting closer.
Yep.
You know? So, but, yeah, it's nice because, you know, the winters can – I love the falls. I love the summer. You know, if spring would ever get here, I'd really enjoy that. But, you know, it's just in the winter leading up to Christmas with the snow and, you know, sometimes when we do get snow, but the cold weather and all that stuff, it really doesn't bother me. January, February, and March, I could kind of do without that weather, but because it's gray and gloomy, you know, but it just makes you appreciate the other seasons.
Absolutely. So. Once again, everybody, we're talking to Terrence Gerwin. We know him as a Rhino. He's a. I'm gonna just say it. You know, I'm gonna sound like a super fan, but he's a legend in wrestling, flat out.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No doubt. He's a good guy as well. You know, he's seen fit to come on this program. He could be on any other program, but he came on this program. Two questions, I believe, and we got about 15 minutes, and I'm sorry. What was it like being a part of that invasion angle when you went to WWE?
It's funny that you mentioned that. I was just thinking about that the other day, or earlier today, the match we had at in Cleveland. And it was, I really enjoyed that angle. And it was a hot angle in wrestling, you know, because there was a lot of truth to it. You had different, you know, wrestling companies all coming into one. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And then just to work with Austin.
Yeah.
So that was a treat. And, you know, it was really interesting time in wrestling. And the fans were just, like, really involved in it. And then, you know, so it was a really cool experience, you know, and I was really, you know, blessed to be part of it. And I tried to represent not only myself, you know, not only my community, you know, mm-hmm. Well in it, but it was just one of those things where it just, you know, everything clicked and, you know, it was just a lot of fun.
Awesome. Now I came across, I didn't know this, but I came across that you have a podcast, that you do a podcast. It's the Low Expectations. Yeah, the Low Expectations podcast.
Well, here's,
do you mind talking about that? How did that get started? You know?
Yeah. Well, my buddy, Gary, down here in Monroe, I bought a little marina down in Monroe. It's called Big Daddy's Boatyard. It's a lot of fun. Passion is boating. I got an old 1970 wooden Lyman, and I have a 1975 Chris Craft. That's fiberglass. So this just came about, and a little fixer-upper, you know, just doing my thing. And so I asked Gary, I'm like, because he runs the Monroe Pop Fest, which is the Comic-Con, but they can't use Comic-Con because it's trademark. Does it here in Monroe, and it's very successful. And every September, plus he'll do like little conventions for charity during the year. Like I think he does two other ones, smaller buildings, and it really he raises a lot of money for the community. And so, like I just got with him. And, you know, I'm like, would you like to run a wrestling show here? Because I need that guy, that promoter. And he'll do the one-day pop fest, and he'll do like 5,000 people. And, you know, I'm like, you have a lot of connections. So we found a building, only holds about 400 people. And, you know, we packed it. The first time was with Billy Gunn. And then the second time we had Shane Douglas and stuff, and both times we sold out standing room. So we had another one set for April, but we had to postpone that to July 16th, which is a Thursday. We only run on Thursdays. So, you know, I talked to him. I go, why don't we get on the local station and have like a little show, kind of like a Tonight Show, something like that, where there's a desk and we'll have people come on and, you know, you flip through the channels and you have your local access.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah. So, he, you know, he knows everybody down at the TV station. I don't know if you watched that one show. It was with, he's on the late night show. Colbert?
Okay, Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert. Yeah. Well, he actually came to Monroe when he was in between. He did a show with Eminem. And it was at the studio. So I'm like, well, you know, so we're like, we'll film it down there and all that stuff. And so he's like, well, they're really pushing me to a podcast. And I'm like, everybody, you know, like all the wrestlers, they'll do podcasts. And I'm like, well, you set it up and I'll be there. And sure as crap, he set it up. He named it and all that. And like, he told me the name and I laughed. And I'm like, Terry and Gary's Low Expectation Podcast. Like, you can't pick a better name, right?
Right.
Even though you kind of want to use the name Mindline, but I kind of wanted to just, you know, and the reason why we wanted to set up like that thing is just to promote the wrestling and the podcast. So,
right,
and other things, and we can interview wrestlers, we can interview people, just all walks of life, you know.
Nice.
So it wasn't just wrestling. We've had, you know, women come on that write, and then women that promote wrestling too, because a lot of times we don't see the women behind the scenes in wrestling. So, you know, we've had a variety of different people, local, like celebrities from Monroe, just and it's been great. Darren McCarty, you know, and all the stuff he's doing. And so it's been very, it's been very interesting, because for so many years, for decades, people have been asking me questions, and it's fun for me to ask them questions. And that's the real treat. Right, right. So, because you learn about people when you ask them questions. So,
That's true. I agree. It's fun to be on this side of it. You know, sometimes it's stressful, but it's, you know, but it's kind of cool because you get to learn these people.
Right.
Oh
man.
We only have 10 minutes left, but we have fans. They shoot in questions. I got one question. A fan wanted to know, I believe his name is Esquel Zeke Cerrados off Facebook. He wanted to know, how was it winning the SmackDown Tag Team titles with Heath Slater?
Oh, that was great. That was great. Because right after that, Slater and I, we became, you know, really, really good friends. And he's just a guy that what you see in the ring is what you get outside the ring, because he's funny. He's very entertaining. He's just like, he was really fun to work with and travel with. So after we won the titles, or maybe shortly after that, we started training together, and a lot of laughs on the road. And, you know, you're kind of like a married couple. I'm sure you've heard people say that before.
Yep.
You know, you have your things you dislike about them, or you might have a disagreement or whatever, but you know, he learned my quirks, which I have a lot of quirks. And you know, but I'm pretty much, you know, go with the flow, but he's really go with the flow. You know, you got point A, point B, you know, you got to do this, this, and this, but for the most part, you know, we're on the same page about a lot of things. But yeah, he learned some of my quirks, and you know, and I learned you know, some of his quirks, but I definitely had more quirks. But yeah, just a fun guy. And you know, just to win the tag titles, I hadn't won a tag team championship since the 90s, so since I was over in Germany. So that was a big drought, but it was one of those things where I was like, wow, this is really cool.
Wow, awesome. So you sure know how to give answers. I appreciate that. For sure.
I try.
All right. My man Antoine, he wants to say what's up to you. He's with us. Is that okay for him to say what's up to you?
Yeah.
Hey Antoine, Rhino is here with us. You want to say what's up?
Yeah, baby. But this ain't Antoine. This is the black man, Coco T. Ware, brother Martez, brother Rhino. How you doing, daddy?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, brother. It's a real honor. I can't even believe I'm on the phone with you, baby. I've been a wrestling fan since I was baby Beware, when my daddy, the K-Say daddy, the black man Coco Beware, was running around ripping in the ring.
If you don't mind,
I have one little question.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to know, this is unrelated to wrestling. I saw that you was interested in getting involved in politics a couple of years back. Are you ever going to do something like that again, or was that just a one-time deal?
No. Actually, I'm running for I made an announcement a couple of weeks ago. I'm running for Monroe Township trustee. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to, you know, get this campaign going. And we'll send out emails, and we'll send out some mailers for the primary. But, you know, that's one thing that's very that's a great question, but that's one thing that's very important to me and other people. You know, it's good to give back. So this will allow me to still go out there and, you know, do my thing with wrestling, with the marina, and be part of the community where you, you know, could make a difference in someone's life, you know, so, and in a positive way. But it's, you know, it's very important, you know, work hard, you know, and when you become, when you reach your goals is to give back too. So, and there's a lot of ways to give back, and serving your community is one of them.
Oh, Brother Rhino, that is awesome, baby. And just shameless plug here, I just want you to know I am the founder and leader of Kayfabe, the People's Band, where we cover only wrestling things, baby. So maybe one day we might cross each other's paths, maybe at a wrestling show, or maybe at your own election night party, and maybe we can provide the musical entertainment. Who knows? Anything can happen.
Right. Well, we haven't booked any musical entertainment yet, so we'll keep that open for you.
Oh, that's awesome, brother. That's awesome. Thank you, Brother Matez, for taking
my call,
brother. Much love to you.
No problem. Hey, you never know what you're going to get on Wrestle Talk in the D. I want to take this time. You said,
I was a big fan of Coco Beware. That's his dad, right?
Yes, his dad.
Right.
Just like, what's his name? Paul White, the Big Show, was Andre the Giant's son. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that wasn't Coco Beware's son? Darn. I wonder what the T stands for. So, yeah, great question. Great question, though. No, but that's very, actually, he had a, you know, bringing that up. I'm glad Coco T. Ware brought that up, you know, running for politics. And, you know, I announced it a couple weeks ago, and, you know, as the momentum picks up, you know, discussing, and what it will do, hopefully, will motivate others to be more involved in their communities, whether serving on the school board, whether it's serving on, whether it's a treasurer or a councilman, you know, or mayor or whatever, it's just working and, or volunteering to help out when things, you know, come up. So it that was a great question, and I'm glad he brought it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was definitely a great question. And shout out to Coco T. Ware. And if you ever need anything from us over here, from myself, let me know, because I'm going to be real with you. You did it. You blessed me today, so I want to be a blessing back to you. And
for sure.
So I want to pause and say thank you for coming on to this program. You know, I'm going to try not to get choked up, you know, but I appreciate it, you know, because we've been doing this for 4 years, grinding, trying to take this thing to the next level. And but you being on this show really, really blessed us. Believe it or not.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for putting in the 4 years and many more years to come to give me the opportunity to come out there and, you know, talk to your listeners and, you know, and stuff like that. And hopefully, you know, I've inspired someone in one way, shape.
Absolutely. And thank you once again. I'm definitely going to message you about some other things, because I definitely want to be more of a blessing to you
for
coming on here today.
Don't worry. I'll ask you to help me knock on doors or pass out some of my campaign literature. We'll get Coco or T. Ware out there. We'll give
Absolutely.
Him a loud. We'll give him a loudspeaker. Have at it. Tell everybody to vote for me.
Hey, Coco, he's more interesting to me, so I know he'll definitely help you out and get some voters.
Right, for sure. So, well, thank you for having me, and, you know, stay safe and stay healthy, and, you know, keep doing what you're doing.
All right. You too. Have a blessed night, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. You too. God bless. Bye.
God bless. Hey, everybody. That was Terrence Guerin, Rhino. He just made his first appearance on Wrestle Talking to D. Hopefully he make another appearance. We just thank him for coming onto this this platform. All jokes aside, you know, we're always trying to legitimize ourselves here at this platform, and that was another how should I put this? I feel like that was a legitimizing interview that we just had to have him on this program. If that's even a word, legitimizing, I don't know, but it's going to be a word today. Thank you for coming on. You know, I wasn't sure how this was going to go, but it was such a relaxed conversation. You know, you never know what somebody's going to be like once they're on air with you. You just never know. So I want to thank him once again for accepting the invitation to be on this show. But And I really do feel like, I got to speak for me, that I'm doing God's work even in the midst of this wrestling business. You know, talking about wrestling, bringing joy to people, you know, talking about storylines, their favorite wrestlers, whatever. I feel like there's a lot of work. There's a lot more work we can do pertaining to God outside of the church. So, and if I can get my words together, I feel like this is a ministry, Wrestle Talking to D. And I want to thank everybody for listening. You know, we're not a household name, you know, but we're not a household name, but we know who we are. You know, we're not trying to be like anybody else. This is, you know, we just want to continue to pump out good shows. And with that being said, we have another great show coming on tonight. The great Jed Williamson, the great Al Miller, they're coming your way next. You know, that's an awesome show. That's an awesome, awesome show. You know, Jed is he's an awesome host, and that's a phenomenal show. I can't say nothing more. I can't say nothing more about Jed. You know, I'll learn from him. I don't even tell him this, but he's a phenomenal host, so that show is coming up next. And ironically, he's calling in right now. I'll bring him on. I don't know if he had anything to say, but what's up, Jed? How you doing, man?
Oh, I feel so touched. You haven't told me stuff, and I just call in at the very moment that you're telling me.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that was legitimate. You know, that was legitimate, man. I wasn't.
Yeah, I appreciate every word, man. I mean, you guys, you gave me this platform, you gave me this opportunity. So, I mean, I'm grateful to you for everything that you've done.
Hey, likewise, man, because I always say this, man, you're so good, you can be anywhere else, you know, but you decide to collaborate with me again. So, and yes, I'm putting
okay.
you over.
Well, that's the thing. When you're getting put over and you don't really believe what's being said, it's hard sometimes because you beat yourself up. You don't think you're doing good. You think you're just, you know, floundering. You're just doing, you know, garbage work. But then somebody compliments you and they encourage you and whatnot. And it's
weird. Yep. Definitely. Hey, you're a beast, Jed. I know we got about 2 minutes to go before your show start, but you want to quickly talk about what's coming up next?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Al and I we're going to do the second half of Starrcade 83, just like last week. We're just going to sit and shoot the breeze and reminisce about the second time that Ric Flair won the heavyweight title from Harley Race and how that all really skyrocketed his career and everything, and just have a good old time talking wrestling as always. I got a bone to pick with you, though.
Oh, what's that?
You're saving all the good guests for your show. No offense to the gentleman from NWA that you offered up to me, but you get Rhino? I mean, come on, that's a hell of a Kickstarter there.
Hey, this is how did I know you was gonna say that? It's not like that.
Just kidding. It's your show. It's your station. You should have the better guests.
No, but it's not like that. But hey, I can understand why you may think that.
I just hassling you.
I know. Next week we're gonna have The Rock and Stone Cold on my show. So
yeah, okay. You pulled that one off. I'd come up to Detroit and give you a blowjob.
Oh, no, you didn't just say that.
You get Stone Cold and The Rock on your show, and I tell you, that means you've got some serious stroke, and you would deserve somebody to come up and give you a blowjob.
And on that note, all right. On that note, thank you, Jim. All right. This is a
I left him and I just left him speechless. You just need to transition over to the next show.
I know the other people that would take that from you, but anyway, my two cents on wrestling is coming up next. Take care, everybody. All right, Jed, I'll catch you on the flip side on the other show.
Yes, sir.